Man, Lisbeth, you made that look so easy. And she's backstage trying to catch her breath because it's not. If you don't know, if you're not a regular here at Promise, or if you are a regular and you have no idea what we did with the set, this weekend is the Nutcracker. What we do here at Promise is we have a partner ministry, Studio 149, and there are a bunch of people that are entering into discipleship through dance. See, that's how it works, is people come into the faith through all these different streams, and a bunch of them, a couple hundred, come here in the evenings, and they dance, and they're discipled, and it's just amazing. But this weekend, this is the first one I haven't got to come to, and that was weird. And so I do what a pastor does when things are weird. I write a sermon. Right? That's what everybody does? No? Today we're going to reflect on this because I want to just say hats off to you, Promise people. You are so good at this. So those of you that are coming and going, man, I want a challenging sermon this morning. I just want to be pushed outside of my comfort zone. I'm sorry, you don't get one. This morning you just get affirmed. You just get affirmed to keep doing what you're doing. Here's what it said in Hebrews. You just heard this text. Keep on loving. Oh, in case you have Bibles, we're in Hebrews 13, verse 1. The Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, is written to the Hebrew church, to the Christian church that's mainly made up of Jewish people, ergo, the Hebrews. And this is what it said in the letter. It says in chapter 13, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Oh, so good. And I want to encourage you, church, especially, can we just be honest? Right, today as I'm looking out, you're the regulars. You're the people who are here all the time as I'm looking out. I know that because, one, it's Nutcracker weekend, so if you're just going to show up, yeah, I know, you're from out of town, but you're here all the time, too. You count. I've noticed that. Right, you're the people that we get all the visitors on Nutcracker weekend, and it snowed this weekend. So not only are you the people who are here a lot, you're also the people that are brave and not afraid of Fort Wayne. Right, it's not the snow that's scary, it's the Fort Wayne drivers. Can I get an amen? I got a Jeep recently, and so this morning I turned it to the four-wheel drive snow. So the little circles in the driveway, I'll just own it. They were me. It was super fun. But during Christmas, right, we know what's going to happen. We're going to have all kinds of people come through the doors. On a standard Sunday, we have 300 to 400 people joining us. On Christmas Eve, we're going to have 700 to 800 people through our doors. Be hospitable. Show hospitality. And can I define one quick thing? Right, there's a difference, and you guys do this so well. You have skills and you have talents, and they're all so different, right? We saw Elizabeth sharing her skills and her talents with us. So now we're all refined and cultured. And sometimes we think of hospitality through the lens of entertainment. Right, I'm entertaining guests. And we elevate hospitality to, I call it refined entertainment. You know what I'm talking about? When the friends come over and the napkin is folded perfectly. You know, it happens once or twice. Or you go to the restaurant and the napkin is folded perfectly, and then this is my favorite over at, I just forgot the steakhouse, that when you go to the bathroom, they come with the little, the same thing they use to dust off the pitchers or the home plate. Where is it? Is it at Baker? Yeah, at Baker's they do it too. And they dust off home plate, and then they refold your napkin like as a swan. It's awesome. I go to the bathroom like 14 times when I eat there. It's, man, they're origami experts. But sometimes what we do is we confuse hospitality with entertainment. It says here, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. And what it's talking about here is this gritty hospitality. That gritty hospitality where you don't have to pretend that the house is perfect. I know that some of yours are, but you don't have to pretend. No, you invite them in and you welcome them. What he's referring here, this is this great little throwback that since he's writing to the Hebrews, he says, keep on loving each other. As brothers and sisters, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. If you're a theologian, this is called a remez. I love the fact that it's translated some people. I don't know if any of you are on Facebook or Twitter, but you have this ancient Hebrew tradition is being carried through. It's when you say some people and everybody knows who you're referring to. Right? Does anybody ever see that on Facebook? Like the person doesn't want to call somebody out, so they're like, some people are just so annoying at work. Right? Everybody knows who you're talking about, but you have plausible deniability. It's beautiful. That's what he's doing here. He's saying the thing that everybody knows. He says, for in doing so, some people have shown hospitality to strangers, or in doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. He's doing a remez, he's doing a subtweet, he's calling out this story in Genesis. By the way, angel, it's this super, super confusing word in Greek. It's angelos, but angel can mean a couple different things. It's a messy word. Sometimes angel means the divine celestial being that we all think about, wings and tutus. Other times, angel can just mean messenger. It's somebody who brings a message. So somehow we could transport in time, they would call your cell phone your angel. It's just the thing that sends and receives messages. And so you have to really take in the context and go, is this a heavenly angel or is this someone who brings the message? Keep that in your back of your mind. We're going to juggle a little bit this morning, and we're going to jump back to this Abraham story, this some people have entertained. If you have your Bibles, flip back to Genesis because this is so good. Oh, I hope you catch this. If you're in Genesis, flip to Genesis. Let's go Genesis 18. Yeah, let's start in Genesis 18. You got this guy named Abraham. And if you're following along in Genesis 18:1, it says, the Lord. If you're in the NIV, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means in the Hebrew, it's the Tetragrammaton, the Yahweh, the divine God. Not any Lord, not any king, but Yahweh. They wouldn't say the name because they revered it so much, they'd reference it as Lord. Then Yahweh appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. Okay, are you all catching this? God appears to Abraham. It says Lord, L-O-R-D. And he looks up and there's three men standing there. If only we hadn't established the Trinity like after Jesus died and just made that up. If only it was somewhere in the New Testament or Old Testament. That was sarcasm, people who email me online. I wasn't looking at you, Sam. I was looking at the computer. I know who's going to email me because they don't speak sarcasm. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby, and when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. I hope you're catching this, that God shows up somehow mysteriously in the Old Testament in the form of three men. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Abraham said this. He said, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, notice that's lowercase Lord. He's just saying my boss man. do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought forth, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me give you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now you have come to your servant. And the Lord, or the three men, says, very well, do as you say. And now it's when it gets gritty hospitality. He says, quick, go get 3 shekels of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. No ovens. The flour isn't, you're grinding flour, you're making bread, you're letting it rise, you're baking it. While all of this is going on, he's hanging out and interacting with God, with the three men. Can we just be honest? There's something awesome about the kitchen. If you really want to learn how to make disciples, don't have people over for dinner. Have people over and cook with them. Right? There's something that happens as you're chopping the carrots and talking to each other where different conversations happen. I love it. People are building houses now with the kitchen and the living room combined because we get that. We get that it's this communal experience. We're remezzing back to ancient Israel is the way that I like to say it. And so then the text goes on, and he ran to the herd. Right? We look at this like the God, like God's just hanging out with Abraham for dinner. It gets even better than just the bread. He's like, sweet, Sarah, you're taking care of the appetizer. Verse 7, then he, that's Abraham, ran to the herd and selected choice tender calf and gave it to his servant who hurried to prepare it. Just think of the time involved. Flint knives, killing calves, letting it bleed out, slow roasting it. This is forever. They're just hanging out. And at this point, God's upset because he's in a hurry and has places to go. Can I just encourage you, if you take nothing away from this text, it's God's cool hanging out with you. That Abraham realized something about God, that it's good to just sit in his presence. Not just when you're sitting in his presence, but also to go about your day and still be interacting with the Lord. It's amazing. Sometimes we take that word waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord, and we think it's about just pausing and being still. When really it's waiting more like a restaurant waiter waits on someone. That you're waiting on the Lord. You're going, God, what's next? Where are we going? Let's dance. See, Abram's preparing the meal to sit down and talk with these three and these one. And then when we get to the text, this is where it gets oh so good. They tell him that you're going to have all these descendants. The part of the story that if you've hung around the church for a while, you know. Sarah laughs. She gets her new name. And then it refers to the men is angels. See, this trick through the whole Old Testament is sometimes God's referred to as an angel. Sometimes God's referred to as the angel of the Lord is actually God showing up. Right? There's this muddy confusion between God and God's representatives. There's this muddy confusion between God and the angels. But that confusion has continued. There's this confusion, and we talked about this a little last week, between God and us as representatives. When you go out, you represent God. When people look at you, they judge God by you. Which raises a question. I had somebody ask me this week. They're like, so how do you know when it's an angel and when it's not? How do you know when that message is from God and when that message is not? How do you know when you're entertaining someone? Because has anybody ever been there? You entertain someone, you're hospitable to someone because you feel you should. And by the end of that hospitality? Hospitable, that's the word I'm looking for. By the end of being hospitable or exhibiting hospitality, we can go either way, you're drained, you're exhausted, you're irritable, you're cranky. You could star in the next Snickers commercial. And people guilt themselves. And people shame themselves. And people look in the mirror and go, oh, I'm just not what God created me to be because I'm not being hospitable to this person who drains me. See, that's not what this is talking about. See, how do you know if you're showing hospitality to an angel? Well, the angel, the messenger, brings the message of God. And what's that message of God? The message of God is grace. The message of God is The message of God is that baby born in a manger, God left heaven and became man and dwelt among us. Not to judge us or condemn us, but to forgive us, to suffer for us, to go to the cross and wash our sins away. And who brings that message of grace to you? Who reminds you, if you're anything like me, you need it more than just on Sunday, you need it daily, to be reminded that you're forgiven, that you're free, that thing that you're still wrestling with, that sin that you haven't overcome yet, that there's freedom. There's hope on the other side. Got a text from a dude this week. Best text I got. All it said is 14 days. 2 weeks ago, he had given me a text and said, I realized I'm an addict. I realize I need to get sober. Hadn't heard from him, I'd prayed for him. And all it said is 14 days. He's still struggling. He still hasn't overcome. He knows that. But for 14 days, he's been sober and he hears daily, you're forgiven. You're free from this. And he's learning to live into that. That's the message of grace. And can I be honest? This is why it's so important around the holidays that we the church, are gritty hospitable. Because I believe that there's angels among us that have messages for us. I believe that person that you get a cup of coffee for on Christmas Eve might, 2 years down the road, speak that grace to you in a way that only they can. They might remind you of that love of God in a way that you can hear it afresh and anew. They might remind you how loved you are. See, another way to put it, I love it. Which way? I know somebody's going to call me if I do this wrong. Which way is east? Okay, thank you. Right? So if east is that way, then west is that way. Right? Here's the key. As you listen to this song, realize there's really two types of people in this world. It says in Scripture that God separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. Right? And that seems like a really far distance. And it is, as long as you're heading east, you're never going to get west. Are you with me? But it also means, if we're honest, that my sin's also always right there. That it's really, really easy to go out the direction that God separated our sins as far as the east is from the west, but it's really, really easy to turn around and pick it back up. And if we're honest, as long as we're walking that direction, that sin's still nipping at our heels. See, how do you tell who the angels are? The angels are the ones that go, keep walking. Don't turn around. You're forgiven. That is behind you. That doesn't define you anymore. See, those are the messengers that bring the message of God. If you want to learn to believe something, you sing it. It gets stuck in your head. And so we got, man, I'm going to call you guys the angel choir. Isn't that what angels look like? So I ask us to just pray this prayer and let it just wash over you this morning.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me, and I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind. It keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other. I start the day, the war begins. Endless reminder of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, but turn my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, and get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. Just how far the east is from the west, 'cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other.
Be reminded that you're forgiven, that you're whole, that you're holy. As we begin to partake in this meal, remember that what gritty hospitality looks like is when Jesus took that towel on the night when he was betrayed, and he wrapped it around his waist, and he got down, and he served. He washed the disciples' feet. Man, you guys do that so well. Not being at the show this weekend was amazing, because most of the texts I got, I thought they were going to be totally different. I thought they were going to be, oh, the dancers were beautiful. which I'm sure they were. I get to see it this afternoon. Don't spoil it. But no, what they were is, hey, we had somebody fall in the hallway, and one of the promised people just came and made sure they were okay, made sure they were safe. Hey, we ran out of coffee, and so-and-so went and got more. Just wanted to know everything's taken care of. Text after text after text were y'all showing gritty hospitality. Keep it up. And when you feel empty, and even when you don't feel empty, return to the one who wrapped the towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet and receive his very body and blood in with and under this bread and this wine. See, on the night when Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And then the same way also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you. For the forgiveness of all of your sins, just do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me.